Wait for it, wait for it. Welcome to the BerlinBrigade.com podcast with your host, David Guerra.
Happy New Year, everyone. I thank you for stopping by to listen to episode 17 of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. As always, I am your host, David Guerra, and I hope you had a wonderful holiday season, and I hope 2010 is going great for you. In this episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast, we have a very special interview. For the very first time, we have four guests being interviewed at the same time. Now, these four individuals have a most unique story to tell, and before we get to that, we have a little shopkeeping to take care of. As of the podcast recording, we have just under 3,500 registry entries into the database. So keep those entries coming in. I know there's some real connections and reconnections being made out there, so keep it up. Who knows? Your old roommate might just be the next person that signs up. Let's see. In the email department, I got an email looking for a former member of the 3rd Battle Group, 6th Infantry, with the last name of Nichols, N-I-C-H-O-L-S. If you are him or you know him, please drop me a note at podcast@BerlinBrigade.com. Someone is out there looking for you. As always, if you're looking for old friends or anybody ever associated with Berlin or Berlin Brigade, you know, just drop us a note at podcast@BerlinBrigade.com. And if we can, we'll put it up here on the podcast and let's spread the word. Let's see. Also from the email department, Landon Smith, just wanted to give you a big thank you for your kind words, sir. And hopefully we will continue to make many, many more for you to listen to. And I think you're going to like this episode's interview. Thanks again. Let's see. Oh, yes. We are still looking for someone from the Berlin U.S. Military Veterans Association to join me on the podcast to talk about the association's return trip to Berlin this year. If anyone out there is a member of the Berlin U.S. Military Veterans Association, please pass along to anyone on the Berlin Trip Committee that they are invited to talk about, well, what it takes for members and non-members, but veterans of Berlin, to attend the trip to Berlin this year. So, again, just anybody out there from the Berlin U.S. Military Veterans Association, just drop me a note, podcast@BerlinBrigade.com, and we'll get the ball rolling, and we'll get you up here as soon as possible. As always, if you have comments, concerns, questions, and show ideas, please put them down in an email. Send them over to podcast@BerlinBrigade.com. You know what? That now takes us to the interview. Folks, you're about to hear a most unique story that was brought to my attention this past November. With a little coordination, we got everyone together the Sunday after Thanksgiving, this 2009, and brought four old friends together to share their most unique story. The full-length interview is just under 2 hours long, literally just under 2 hours, and we're going to break this up into 2 one-hour episodes. So it's a little easier for you to manage on your PC, iPod, or Zoom, or any other portable listening device. So this is going to be part one. The story you're about to hear is being told for the first time by all the parties that were involved. The events took place starting in June 1986 to its conclusion about September 1986. The individuals you are about to hear are telling the story that, well, that could have had a very horrific ending. But luck was on their side. These three GIs and one former East Berliner completed a journey that on a map does not appear to be any further than just a few city blocks. But to them, it was a trip that might as well have been a million miles long. A couple of things to know as you listen to the interview. There are some side references that are only known to the people involved, so don't feel that you don't know what they're talking about or you missed something. Even though I was in Berlin at the same time and I was in the same battalion as three of the individuals, there's just a couple little things that they talk amongst themselves that's known to them. But for the most part, it does not deviate, but there will be a couple of points there, and that's okay. Let's see, there were a total of 5 microphones, and you're going to hear a little low-level hum in the mixing of the interview. Unfortunately, the quality did suffer because we had 5 different microphones located in 2 different countries across, I think, several time zones. So, again, bear with us on that technical side of the things. And before I begin, I want to thank Ray, Mike, Jackie, and John. I just want you to know that I am honored to have been part of this awesome interview, and thank you for the opportunity to share your story with me. Everyone, I now present you Ray Williams, Michael Broadway, John Bolden, all three formerly of Combat Support Company, 6th Battalion, 502nd Infantry, and Jackie Dunn, currently in Berlin.
Take your seats because it's time for a special guest interview.
Okay. It pretty much started. Jackie and I were on the dance floor. And if I remember correctly, we were dancing to Born in the USA. Is that correct, Jackie?
Yeah, I remember.
And when we were finished dancing and stuff, we were going to head back towards the table, and Jackie was crying, and I asked her what was wrong, and she said to me that she wished to have her freedom, and that she wished to see the United States. And it really struck my heart, my reply was that I'll see what I can do. And so that's pretty much where it started, I think. What do you think, Jackie?
What? What do you mean?
Well, where all this began, when we were on the dance floor and such.
Yeah.
But it took a while before I was trying to think of ways and such like that to bring her across. And I knew Mike and Ray because we had gone over to the East many, many times. And Mike was the one that introduced me to Jackie. And when I saw her, I knew she was special. I just,
thank you.
You're welcome. And I brought it up to Mike and asked him what he thought about bringing Jackie over. And do you remember your reply, Mike?
No, I don't. What the hell else would you say? You say, of course I want to do that.
Yeah. But, Mike said he had been thinking about it as well and such. And so we did not have a plan at the time and did not know how to go about it. So we thought about it for a while. And I think it was like 2 weeks later, Mike brought up Ray's van. Ray had, what kind of van did you have, Ray?
That was a standard Volkswagen camper van, but it had bed in the back. When you need to lift it for like a food, very large store compartment underneath the side.
Yeah, they had showed me the storage space underneath the back seat and such. And so we were testing it out. I went in there myself. Jackie is a little bit taller than I am, a couple of inches. Yeah. And so I had placed myself in the box to see how well she would fit in there. And I was only in there maybe 5 minutes, and I could feel the circulation in my legs. They were starting to tingle and such. And Mike got in there, too, I believe, to test it out. Didn't you, Mike?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, so it was like we knew right then that we had to, when we went to do this, that we would have to do it quickly. Because I know that if she was going to be in there, the circulation in her legs was going to be something. And so we formulated the plan. We just did not know when to do it. We tried a couple of times before, but things just did not add up. And do you remember when I brought it up to you, Jackie?
Yeah, I remember that.
Of course. Well, how did you feel?
I was so nervous and excited.
Yeah, it's and I brought it up to her, but I didn't give her a date because we didn't know a date for sure. And I know Jackie was anxious because every time we were there, and she'd see me, she'd ask if that night was the night, and I wouldn't give her an answer, because I didn't want her to be confused, but yet I wanted to cause confusion in a different way, to throw off, any kind of, if we were being followed or anything like that, so that it would be a successful mission. One weekend we had planned to bring her over, and I think it was before August, wasn't it, guys?
Is what?
Yes.
Yeah, and one thing about what was the, how can I say, the feeling of accomplishing this was that we were carrying the flags, the United States flags, in the 4th of July parade on the 4th of July plots, which they perform every year in Berlin, as you know. And when you're standing in formation, and I believe it was Lieutenant Colonel Hutchinson, was our battalion commander at the time, gave a wonderful speech about freedom and how proud we are to be an American, and how much we've fought to maintain this freedom, and then plays Lee Greenwood, proud to be an American, and the overwhelming warmth and security that you get from such a speech of motivation, that's what motivated me to help with Jackie. I suppose I'm getting emotional, I guess. it was in August, before August, we were going to do it that one weekend and bring Jackie over. We had an unexpected visitor with us. You remember that, guys?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. He's a bitch, too.
Well, not really. We were going to bring her over that weekend, and but when he came along, we had to abandon the mission at the time, and Jackie kind of had the sense for that weekend, I believe. Did you, Jackie?
What did I?
The week prior to bringing you over, and you coming over, do you remember who was with us at that time?
No, I don't remember that.
Well,
no. Who was it?
Huh?
Who was
Tim
it?
Tim Sokovic.
Oh, yeah. And Jackie, I had the feeling that she was going to go that night, and but we could not because Tim was with us and he had just gone through his Genesis. We did not know if we could trust him or not within the mission, and it was probably a good thing that we did not at the time. When we got to Checkpoint Charlie, Jacqueline and Mandy was with us at the time, I believe. They got out of the van, but Jackie didn't want to get out of the van. Do you remember that?
Hey, John.
Yeah.
There was four girls with us.
Was there?
Yeah, okay. There was four of them. All four of them came with us.
But do you remember that now, Jackie?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. And yeah, I had a little bit much to drink that night. Jackie was sitting on my lap, and sitting on my lap, and she said, "Take me with you," and I said, "Not tonight, we can't." And so Tim picked her up and placed her outside of the van, and Jackie came right back in the van. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And Tim was like, "What are you doing? You gotta go. We gotta get across the border." We had we had left that night, regretting not taking her that night, but all the energy was as well as it should have been, because the prior week or the next week after weekend, we went across, and I believe we went over around 10 a.m., didn't we, guys?
I think it was later.
Well, we didn't see you until later at the disco at, is that Alexanderstoff's?
Alexanderplatz, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a disco up, and we had to go up the stairs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you remember that, guys? Yeah, the disco, the only thing that comes to my mind is Alexanderplatz. And I didn't know my way around East Berlin all that well. Ray did most of the driving. So can you guys shed some light on where it was located at?
It was close to Alexanderplatz. Jackie would be the one to tell you where it's at.
It's on the Alexanderplatz, and the name was Alex Ref or Fernsehturm Disco.
See?
Oh, there you go.
I remember the inside, but not the outside of it.
It was two places. Alexanderplatz Disco, it was up the stairs where the tower was, and the other place was Alex Treff at the other disco.
Yeah, was it on the second floor or something?
On the second floor, there was a Fernsehturm tower, the tower where the tower is. But we both went to the last day, night in East Berlin was Alex Treff, the not on the tower, the other one.
Okay, yeah, because I was driving the van, and Mandy and Ushi showed me how to get there, and I raised the van was okay. Because I grinded gears in your van a lot there, Ray.
Yeah, it worked fine afterwards.
Good. but yeah, the night that I should say that we went over early during the day, and it was around 10 a.m. guys, because we were going to make an all day thing. And usually, when we went to East Berlin, we usually only went at night. It was on a Saturday. Wasn't it on, or was it a Friday, guys?
Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. And, usually we went over at night just to go to the disco, but we decided to go over at 10 a.m., I believe it was, and enjoy the day. It was a nice sunshiny day out. I saw
it,
a lot of...
John, right? It was warm. I didn't have a jacket on. No jacket. Nothing. It was warm.
Mm-hmm. And we had gone to a restaurant, the only reason why I remember the restaurant is because Jackie wasn't there at the time. There was three other girls, I believe, and then us three guys, and I had a steak for lunch or something like that, and it was a small steak. And when I cut my meat, I cut it all up, get all the work done, and have your feast, you know. And I remember I was cutting it up, and people were staring at me, and Jacqueline looks at me, and she said, John, that is not good. And I'm like, what? And she goes, that. I'm like, and this overwhelming embarrassment come over me, and I don't know why, but it just happened. We also went to the beach. Do you remember that, guys?
Barely.
Yeah.
I think I remember driving by the zoo.
Yeah, a little bit of that. And because we were doing some sightseeing, the places that we hadn't seen before, or else I hadn't seen before, seeing that I was new. I had only been in Berlin for 8 months. I arrived there in January of 86, the beginning. When we decided to go to Jacqueline's place, was it, Mike?
Yeah, it was Jacqueline's apartment.
Yeah, And if I remember right, it was Jacqueline, Mandy, Ushi, and Babette, was it?
Yeah, I think you got it right.
Okay. And then, of course, us three. And we were having a good time and stuff. And all of us were supposed to go to the disco. And then, well, when it was like 8, what time was it, Jackie, that I seen you at the disco? Do you remember?
It was 8 or 9, I think.
Yeah, it was somewhere around there because that's what we had planned on. But Ray and Mike wanted to stay at Jacqueline's place. And, of course, we weren't allowed to be at a residence over there, of course. So,
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And so
we weren't allowed to have the girls in the car either. But
yeah, that's true. So we had so I asked Ray to let me drive the van, you know, and because you know, we were gonna, well, we wanted to keep it going. We just, the plan had changed a bit, and so I asked Ray if I could drive his van. He's like, yeah, go ahead, you know, because Mandy and Ushi, I remember, wanted to go to the disco. It's like, yeah, and they backed me up. I was like, okay, let's go. And because I was hoping Jackie would be there. And when Ray gave me his keys and stuff, and I didn't have a driver's license, of course, to drive over there.
Oops.
Oops. So, but so man, I remember when I was driving the van and jamming the gears, you know, Mandy was teasing me, do you know how to drive? So not this one. But we arrived at the disco and such, and we went upstairs and we sat down. I believe it was in the middle, wasn't it in the middle of the disco, Jackie?
It was, I remember. Hmm?
Yeah. And I seen you, and you looked right at me, and I nodded at you. And I don't know who you were with at the time.
With nobody.
Oh, well, Mandy asked me if she wanted me to go get you. And I said, yes, please, you know. And so she I remember she came and got you, and then you come over by me, and you sat down, and well, we ordered champagne, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yep.
Always.
Always. Yeah. Always. How much were those big bottles of champagne? Do you guys remember?
No, not much. I don't know.
It was like 25 or 30 East Marks. It was about a dollar with the exchange rate. That was about $2 or $3. Yeah.
Yep. So and. So, and then Jackie whispered into my ear, is tonight the night? And I told her yes. And I gave her some ground rules. Do you remember, Jackie?
You gave me what?
Ground rules? Rules?
Yeah.
Yeah. I told her she couldn't go anywhere without me. You know, she had to stick by my side every minute, every second. And I did that for our safety, pretty much. And I told her, I said, if you got to go to the bathroom, I'll go with you. You know? I'll stand right by that door. You know? And she did. And I remember she asked if she could call her mom and dad. And I told her no, and because it was for our safety. I wasn't being mean, and Jackie knows that. And she stuck with me throughout the whole night. And then when it was time to leave the disco, it was around maybe, what time did we leave, Jackie? Around 10, 10:30?
Yeah.
And we went back over to Jacqueline's apartment. And
remember when you told me we do this tonight, I ordered one bottle of champagne and drank it X?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm a little relaxed.
Yes. Yeah, and I didn't drink that much that night.
I did.
Yeah, I know you did. But I wanted to maintain my senses for just in case measures and such like that. And we arrived at Jacqueline's apartment, and we bought some more bottles of champagne to take with us, because didn't we have a bottle of champagne with us when we come over to the west?
I don't think so.
I don't recall.
No.
Okay.
I remember a bottle of champagne.
No, I only remember Coca-Cola.
Yeah. because I think we got like three bottles of champagne, and maybe Mandy and Ushi took it into the apartment. I think that's what happened there. But as soon as we got there, Jackie and I stayed in the van, and because Mandy and Ushi, they wanted us to come in. And I told them that I wished to talk with Jackie a little longer and such. And they went inside, and Jackie and I instantly went into the back. And we sat and talked for a little bit. And one of the questions that she asked me was, why are you doing this? And my reply to her was that she wished for her freedom. She did not ask us to do this. It was, how can I say, a plan that we had come up with. And to go back to the speech and the way I felt at the 4th of July parade and before that, I explained to her that I know she wished for her freedom and that we wished to give it to her, and I told her that we could probably get her to the west, but I don't know about the states, and that's so there's so much courage with Jackie because she took a very big chance of doing this, and I give her so much credit, So after we had talked for a while, maybe 10 minutes or so, she asked how we were going to do this, and I lifted up the back seat, and I seen the look on her face, like, how am I going to do this? And I told her, I said that she would be able to fit in there, and that it would not be long at, you know, because I asked her to watch her legs, her circulation in her legs, and to rub her legs as much as possible to keep the circulation flowing. Then I told her, I said, before you get in there, though, you got to slap me. Remember that, Jackie?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she goes, why? I cannot. And I told her, I said, it's got to look like you left, and you got to hit me good. <You know? laughs> And she couldn't do it. She couldn't slap me or anything like that. My story would have been that I had tried to put a move on her. She did not like it, slapped me, and left. that was part of the plan and such. And once I got her into the back, underneath the back seat and such, I closed the lid and I wished her good luck. And I went into the, on the outside, into the little bit of a hallway there, and I slapped myself. Now, this is not an easy feat if you do not like pain, but it looked good by the time I hit the doorway. when I got to into Jackie's apartment, I was at the front door, and the first thing that Jacqueline said to me was that Jackie is not allowed in here. And because I believe, did you and Jacqueline have something, you didn't like each other or something?
She was never my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Stasi.
Ah. And so, well, anyways, you know, I'm looking, I got, you know, tears in my eyes, and I got red cheeks, you know, and Mike's laughing at me because he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And, and so, you know, and I told Jacqueline, I said, Jacqueline, I said, you don't have to worry about it. She's gone. She left, you know, she hates me. And right away, well, when Mike was laughing at me, I remember Jacqueline slapping him. And as soon as I said Jackie was gone, she immediately grabbed Mike's hand, and they went out to the van. And the cue was that we were to leave right away once I came in through that door, because they knew that Jackie was underneath the back seat. However, Jacqueline put a little damper in that plan, and Mike, this is where you're going to have to take over, because for a little bit, and because him and Jacqueline were out in the van for, I'd say, a good 30, 40 minutes. Is that correct?
I don't know, John. I don't remember that part. I remember her slapping me, and then some other two girls started comforting you.
Yeah, Mandy knew. She instantly grabbed me. I knew that. It's like, oh, John, come here. You know, I'm like, oh, my gosh. We got to go.
I don't remember going out to the van, John.
Yeah. You two were out in the van and such. Because what I know now is that I think Jacqueline did this to make sure Jackie was not in the van. And you guys were in there for about 30 or 40 minutes. And it's like we couldn't rush things to get things going, you know, in case, well, which Jacqueline, you know, possibly being Stasi, you know, we couldn't give any hint that Jackie was going across that night. And I remember when we left, the girls were with us, Mandy, Ushi, Babette, and Jacqueline, they were all with us. And how many hours away, Ray, do you think we were when we dropped the girls off before crossing into Checkpoint Charlie?
How many what?
How many yards from Checkpoint?
How far away? I think maybe. Oh.
It was around a corner.
I think we did it around the corner. So, yeah, it couldn't have been more than two blocks.
Yeah.
It wasn't far.
It was not too long.
Yeah. So, excuse me. So then, when we got when we all had left, we dropped the girls off, I was in the back seat on top of Jackie, and of course the lid was down. Mike was in the passenger side. Ray was driving, and it was like, what was it? Like 2 minutes before midnight before we got over, guys.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, very close.
Yeah, because we were supposed to be back before midnight, and at least 10 minutes before midnight, before the coach changed into a pumpkin. You know what I'm saying? That was the rules. when we were going through the east side, I remember there was an East German troop on guard duty, and I remember the Soviet officer was standing there. And him and I locked eyes, and I do remember that the East Germans, Polizei or Army, could not detain us, could not talk with us, could not touch us or anything, but the Soviets could. And that's why.
I know.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jackie.
No, go ahead.
And that's why I kept my eye on the Soviet officer. And it was just something that, with that Soviet officer and I, we had locked eyes, and that's when my heart was really racing, because at that moment, you know, if something would have happened, it would have happened then. And we made it through, and we got to Checkpoint Charlie, and the NCOIC that was in charge there, was pretty much yelling at Ray. Do you remember that, Ray?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Ray was a sergeant. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, he was yelling at me because it was since I was the ranking guy there, I was supposed to be in charge and have better respect for them and their time. And he was just going on, and I was just trying to look ahead and get through about another 40 feet I wanted.
Yeah, because I remember he was saying that, you men are supposed to be in before midnight, and at least 5 or 10 minutes too before midnight, we were about to send a search party out for you to look for you. I remember those words. and we're like, okay. because we usually did get to the checkpoint, Charlie, before 10 minutes to, basically, you know. But that night was kind of different. So, once we got through checkpoint, Charlie, which we did, and such like that, after our tongue lashing, I would say. And was that Potsdamer that we went down, guys?
I think that's Potsdamer Platz right outside of Checkpoint Charlie, wasn't it, Jackie?
No, I don't know. I can't remember.
Potsdamer Straße,
yeah.
Straße, okay.
No, but, okay. We were gonna go down, a ways, and then turn a corner and bring Jackie out. But I was a little bit anxious because she had been in there, I would say, a good hour, maybe more, and I was worried about her legs. And so we got to just about where we were going to turn the corner, and I said, I can't wait any longer, and I popped the back of the cover off of the back seat and helped Jackie out. And you remember, Jackie?
I remember that screaming, "Welcome to West Berlin."
Yep.
Yep. Oh, it was so good. Oh, my God. It was so... I will never forget this.
So I instantly started rubbing her legs because she said her legs hurt. And I knew why and such. And then... we asked her where did she want to go first. Do you remember what your answer was?
Kudorf. Oh yep. No, I went back to Checkpoint Charlie to do something. Remember?
What was that?
I don't want to say. Just I remember I went back to Checkpoint Charlie and screamed very loud.
Oh, did you?
I did. I remember this. But I'm not going to tell this what I screamed.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we did go to the Kudorf that night.
Yeah, and I was freezing. I didn't have a jacket with me. I had nothing with me. Nothing.
Yeah.
10 marks, one lipstick, one eyeliner, and my address book. That was it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I apologize for that, but... Because I remember you wanted to go get some clothes, and I wouldn't let you. we went to the Kudorf that night, and was there two Yugoslavian guys that you knew?
Yeah. I knew these guys, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm? And the moment they saw her, they knew instantly what we had done. And... I remember the one guy coming up and giving me a hug and kissing me on the cheek. I don't know their names. I had seen them in the East plenty of times, and I had seen them in the West because they had gone back and forth. I couldn't relate to you on what their status was, but they took good care of you, didn't they, Jackie?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Good. Because, excuse me.
I told them I came with a diplomat, but they didn't believe me.
Yeah. That was the plan. Her story when she went to how can I say to report herself in was that a diplomat brought her across. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, because we wish to stay pretty much anonymous and stuff like that. But knowing what we know now, you know, I'm sure that we were being followed a lot, you know, and such. But do you remember those two guys' names, Jackie?
No, I don't remember these names. No.
No. Mm. Yeah, because yeah.
But he helped me a lot. I slept in his apartment for the first night, and I got to know his boss next day, and he helped me a lot. I found an apartment, and he helped me a lot. This German boss from him, but I don't know his name. I don't know.
Good, good. Yeah, because. We, you know, all three of us were, you know, money-wise, we wish we had more at the time to give to her and such. And because we wished to, you know, to have her an apartment. We couldn't definitely take her back to CSC 6 and 502nd. But monetarily-wise, we all wished that we had enough to get her a place to stay. And the way I see it, how energy works now is that that the Yugoslavian gentleman was there to provide this help for Jackie, and I appreciate his help so very much. I surely do. And it was kind of funny in a way, because I don't know if I should say this or not, but you know, when there's music playing and you feel like dancing, you know, sometimes I go out on a dance floor by myself. And so I was out there dancing by myself, and I felt these two hands come around onto my waist. And I thought it was Jackie. So I reached around to grab Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And here it was, this Yugoslavian gentleman.
Oh, I don't remember this.
No, you weren't there. No. That was the same night, but we were at this other small little... but anyways, when I turned around and seen it was him, I was kind of freaking a little bit. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I apologize. You know? But I thought it was Jackie. You know? But yeah, that night when we left her, I was quite worried. And hoping that things would be okay with her and such. Do you guys remember that night at the Kudor?
I remember when we walked in and Gwil dropped his drink.
Yeah, I remember that. That Gwil, I believe his first name was Tracy. He was the one that brought me over to East Berlin, actually, one of the first ones, because Mike and I were roommates at the time. And I remember Mike saying to me, "Is it, well, if we find out you're pretty cool, we'll take you over to the East with us." Remember that, Mike?
I don't remember that exactly, no. But
yeah,
something like that.
I'm like, well, okay, whatever. You know? And
good thing we found out you were pretty cool.
Yeah. But Gwil, he was a scout, I believe. I'm not sure. One of the two, because he was on the other side of the barracks. Well, not the barracks, but you know, down the other hall. And he asked me if I wanted to go over to the East one night, and I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not doing anything. Let's go. And of course, when he took me to the disco and everything, and there was Mike and Ray and. I think you were with, was it Ivy?
Tim was probably there.
Yeah, Tim, I think, was there too. But
it may have been Ivy or Russell or John or, you know,
yeah.
A dozen people went at different times.
Yeah, yeah. But when we were at the Kudorp and Will saw Jackie, and, yeah, he dropped his drink. Yeah.
After staring for a minute.
Yeah, wasn't it a Golden Bison he was drinking or something?
Yeah, it was Bison beer.
Bison beer.
That Sunday, the next day, Ray, did you pick up Jackie Sunday?
We somehow got back together. I'm not even sure how the details. I don't even think the first night ended. From what I can remember, it was all jumbled together. And then we went to the what was that festival, Mike?
The
Volksfest.
The festival we went to.
Deutsche Amerikanisches Volksfest.
Volksfest.
Yeah.
Yes.
German American Volksfest. And it had the best theme ever.
It was a special one for us because that's right. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, the theme of the Volksfest was Broadway in Berlin.
Yes, it was. Yep. Yeah, you still got the button, right, Mike?
Yeah, I still got a button from it.
I think Ray had picked up Jackie, and we all met at the Volksfest. And that's when a lot of guys in the mortar platoon seen Jackie, and they were astonished. And, of course, they seen her with us. And doesn't take much to put two and two together and get five. But, we went to, who was it? Oh, yeah, we saw Zukovic, didn't we?
Yep, we saw Zukovic there.
Yeah, and one of the things Tim told us was, he says, "Are you guys nuts?" He says, "Do you realize what you've just done?" It's like, "Yes, we do." And, of course, me being a smart aleck as I was, I said, "You're lucky we didn't do it last weekend you were with us." That didn't sit too well with him.
Yeah, he got upset.
Yeah, he did. He did, a little bit. And then Tracy Long, I believe, I don't think he knew Jackie, but from us talking before and such like that, I think he figured out who she was. And who else was there?
I don't remember who all we saw.
Just about everybody.
Yeah, it's just about everyone because, while the Volksfest was going on, we had detail and stuff like that. One of my details was to take the French orphans to the Volksfest and show them around and such like that. We had to wear Class Bs. What detail did you get on, Mike?
I was a door guard at the casino.
Ah, okay.
I had to check people's IDs. Nobody under 21 allowed.
Yep. What did they get you on a detail, Ray?
I don't remember a detail. I think they just detailed the ones that were living on post since I was off post.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, no, pretty much 6th Battalion had the detail that entire time. My roommates and I, we were in the cash office. I don't know if you guys remember those little tickets, little dollar coupon, little tickets. We were in that office, and that was our detail, to count them in, count them out, the whole nine yards. So, yeah, everybody in 6th Battalion had that detail that year.
Yeah, those were fun details.
Yeah, that was the best one. Beat raking snow, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it did. I remember McConnell was a bartender at the was it the Colonel's party or something like that. Jeez, and when he had a refrigerator in my room and he brought up bottles of wine left and right. But but that Sunday we spent the day with Jackie at the Volksfest, what do you remember about the Volksfest, Jackie?
I don't remember anything, nothing except the Michelob.
The Michelob, yep.
I don't remember. Nothing.
So that Sunday night when we had parted, that's when she had told us that she was she had a place to stay with the Yugoslavian gentleman and stuff like that, because one of our concerns was that she was okay and things like that. And we had also discussed on the plans when she had reported in on Monday, because we knew at some point she had to report in to get things rolling. So, when Monday came around, Jackie, do you remember when you reported in at all, or?
Yeah, yeah. In Marienfelde. I remember. I went to the Germans, to the French, to the Americans, and to the British. And I told them I came with a diplomat, and everybody believed me except the British. They knew everything. Yeah. The name's everything. I don't know from who. So.
Well, and then,
yeah?
The British are sticklers for rules, you know. Go ahead, Jackie.
Yeah, and then the trouble began. The CIA catched me, picked me up, and they took me to a villa in Zehlendorf, and was there for hours. So,
yeah, because well, I remember it was around 5 o'clock, the end of business, you know, end of the day, and my room was located right by the two doors on the third floor, right by 4th of July Plots. And so whoever came through those doors coming from Italian, he pretty much knew the business before CQ did. So, and I remember the captain, I believe it was Captain Keller or Kellerman or Kelly. Keller comes to my mind. You guys remember?
No, I don't remember, but I think Kelly. Rather than Keller, I don't know.
Yeah, I think Kelly.
Kelly was the Alpha Company CO.
Okay.
Okay. Because I remember this guy, he had, of course, black hair and these glasses.
Yeah, that's him, John Jay.
Oh, yeah, John Jay. I remember that. Okay. But he came up through the doors. I believe it was him. But anyways, Schmidt was on CQ that day. He was on something had happened with him to where he had light duty. So he's mostly on CQ. But I was in my room and I had just taken off my BDU top and getting ready to put on civilians, go see Jackie. And he come through the doors, and at the top of his lungs, told CQ, he says, "You get Bolden, Williams, and Broadway in my office right freaking now." Of course, that wasn't the word that he used, but and right then and there, I knew it. You know, I was like, okay, we got a story, we got a plan, we're all gonna stick to it, and we'll skate, we'll be good, you know. And of course, when I heard that, I had a blue keychain that I always looped around my my belt buckle, or my belt loop, I should say, to keep track of my keys for the tracks and my room and all that. And that put a hole in my wall. we don't have to guess how that got there. So I put on my shirt, put my shirt back on, and as I opened the door, Schmidt was there at the door about ready to knock on. He's like, "Well, you heard." I'm like, "Yep." And he knew what was going on. And so Mike and I had went to the first sergeant's room. It was you had the CQ desk, and then behind that was the first sergeant's room. And then the captain's room was off to the left if you're looking straight into the first sergeant's room. And so we got down there, and the MPs were there. Did you come in later, Ray?
Yeah, I think I'd already left for home.
Yeah, yeah, because I think
I was living off post.
Right, yeah, they were looking for you. And when we were there, and did they bring you back to CSC?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
no,
you came back.
No, I went straight to CID.
Oh, you
did?
Did
you? Okay. Because, yeah, we were in there for a while. Mike and I didn't say anything because we didn't know what was going on, basically what they were going to do or anything like that. And then, of course, we got handcuffed. You remember that, Mike?
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, and we got escorted down. Mike was put in one vehicle, and I was placed in another. And we got down to CID, and of course, you know, we're all there. Well, they took us according to rank. Ray went in first for his interview, and of course, Mike and I were. They didn't put us in a cell or anything. Once we got there, you know, they took the handcuffs off and everything, and then we were sitting there on the bench, you know, outside of the cells, and because they treated us really decent, they were good to us, of course Mike and I were talking and stuff, and we didn't talk about the plan for the aftermath of what our story was going to be because we already knew it. We were just talking about different things, you know, kind of making each other laugh to lighten up the situation and stuff. And how long were we sitting there together, Mike? For we got there about what, maybe 6:30, 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and it was like 1 or 2 when we got out of there, wasn't it?
Yeah, when you got out. When you got out of there.
Yeah, I don't know how long we were sitting there together before they put us in the cells. But.
Yeah, we'd been together, sitting together for a while, you know, and stuff, and all of a sudden this officer came in. I can't remember what his rank was, but he got on to the MP that was on post that night. He says, "What are these two prisoners doing together?" Of course, the common answer was, "I don't know, sir." So. So anyways, he told the MP there, he said, "You separate these two prisoners right now, get them in the cells." And of course, Mike goes in the one cell and I go in the other. But they didn't lock the cell doors. You remember that, Mike?
Yeah, I think they were open.
Yeah, they were wide open.
Wanted it separated.
Yep. No. And of course, Mike and I didn't talk anymore after that. And then Ray got done with his interview. They kept us for about 2 to 3 hours for each interview, I think, wasn't it, guys?
I don't remember being that long on the interview, but I remember sitting there and on that in that cell for a long time.
Yeah. That was cement too. But after Ray was done, of course, Ray left, and then Mike went in because he was a specialist fourth class promotable, and they had him in there for a long time, and then you left about 1 or 2, I think it was 1, Mike, and because when I got in there, of course it was 1 a.m. and one of the first things the CID officer told me, he's like, "Well, you might as well admit it, those two guys just gave you up." And I kind of chuckled. I chuckled at this man. And I looked him straight in the eye. I said, "I doubt that." I said, "Where are we going to go from here?" You know. And he says, "Oh yeah." He says, "They told us everything." And he says, "Why don't you give us your version?" Well, our version was this. And we said that we didn't know what was going on. That Jackie had gotten in the van by herself when we weren't around the van at all. The only thing that we knew is that she popped out of the van, you know, about a mile away from Checkpoint Charlie, you know, and that's where it is, you know. There was a bunch of other questions that he had brought up to me and such like that. And, of course, you know, I just stuck with our common story of what we came up with. And he knew that he wasn't going to get anywhere further and stuff like that. He really did not question me that hard. I in my mind, through an interview like that, I think the less he asked, the better off both of us were. And I got out of there at 4, I believe it was 4 a.m., and got back to battalion about 5. And I thought I was going to have the day off. It didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, because I remember Sergeant First Class Horton. What's that?
Go ahead.
Okay. Because I remember Sergeant First Class Horton knocking on my door about 5:45. Why aren't you ready? He said, that was your time. That was on our time. He said, get out the formation. And, of course, my reply was, yes, Sergeant. So we went through the whole day pretty good, you know, doing regular duty and stuff like that. do you guys remember?
No.
No.
I remember I was on a special duty. I was a bus driver for the Head Start class. And after I was released, I got back late to driving the bus. I was supposed to pick up the people at 6, and I didn't get around until about 6:30, 6:45. So I got chewed out by another first sergeant over at the Head Start side. And then I explained what happened. He goes, well, why the hell didn't you just call me? I could have had everything straightened out. You wouldn't even have had to go to CID. Thanks a lot for telling me now, but that was my morning on that.
Yeah, that's
My old first sergeant from. I remember him. He was my old first sergeant from when I was stationed in Falk for after me, and that's got the duty of being the driver because he knew me from Fort Polk. And he was yelling at me afterwards that, you know, if you can do something that stupid, why don't you at least tell me first and I could have helped you out. Yeah. I think he meant to talk us out of it, but that didn't work.
That is the end of part one of a very special two-part interview. And wow, I do hope you enjoyed listening to Ray, Michael, John, and Jackie. And join us next time when we conclude this awesome interview in part two. And we're going to leave this up for the rest of the month. And in early February, we'll put up part two, so you don't have to wait that long, but definitely want to leave it up so everybody has a chance. And of course, as always, old podcasts will go to the archives page, so you don't have to worry about that. They'll be there available for you to listen at your convenience. Let's see. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Remember, you can always send us an email at podcast@berlinbrigade.com. Please don't hesitate. Just get something, comment, concern, questions, show ideas. Questions for anybody that we've interviewed, or ideas, suggestions on who we should interview in the future, drop us a note, podcast@berlinbrigade.com. Or you can stay up to date with the latest at berlinbrigade.com by following us on Twitter. Yep, we got a Twitter page and we're Twittering. So you can go over to www.twitter.com/Berlin Brigade, all one word. And that's our Twitter page. Or you can join the Berlin Brigade fan page on Facebook by following the link on the BerlinBrigade.com homepage. Come on, join the conversation. Everybody else is there. So listen, until next time, I am your host, Dave Guerra, and this has been the 17th episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. Thank you for listening. Happy New Year. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Sergeant Major, dismiss the brigade!